Hey, I want to thank you all for being the church you are. Elizabeth and I miss when we're not here. And I know that may sound weird to you, but we have served locations that we were glad not to be there that Sunday. And man, how many of y'all glad to know that the grace of God is real? Amen. And that no matter what we've been into, no matter what's got a hold of us, that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ can bring us to be a new person. And I want to thank Pastor Jamie Ward. I thought he did an awesome job last week dealing with, hey, you know, you get to this part of Corinthians and you're going, oh, gosh, how many, every one of you stood guilty somewhere in last week's sermon? Yeah, me too. And so when we deal with sin, you know, what a lot of churches do with sin is they just dodge the discussion. But sin is real. Okay, and now I want you to know that being guilty doesn't correct the situation, does it, Pastor Jamie? Jamie, I want to commend you on your sermon. I thought you did one of the better jobs ever that I've heard personally, because we all do this. How many, every one of us have done this, or maybe you haven't, but I bet you have. How many of y'all go, well, at least I haven't done that? How many of y'all, when you sin, you immediately find somebody else and you say, yeah, but I didn't do that. You know, I may have peeked at the computer, but I didn't sleep with that guy's wife. Huh? I may have stole a piece of bubble gum, but I didn't rob a bank. You see, one of the things we need to realize is this grace, God's grace, brings us to a new life. And one of the things I want to thank you all as a church is, and please, as I say it in the name of Jesus, may the devil not interrupt us. May we be a place that welcomes sinners to grace and not beat sinners up. Because I think Jamie did a great job through the power of the Holy Spirit explaining this. Sin kills. Is my mic going bad? Something wrong with it? Y'all okay now? Is it hearing okay? Y'all tell me. I think it's okay. All right, thank you. We always need a backup. Well, today we kind of look at, we've dealt a lot with sexual immorality. Wouldn't you agree? Have you heard that in several passages here? Sexual immorality, and that means having inappropriate sexual relations, no matter what they are. Now, when I talk about this, I'm going, we got children in here. They need to be aware of this now. Parents, I just want to let you know, if you're waiting to 17 to tell your kids, they can tell you a lot more things than you're aware of. Because we live in a society where everything has gone sensual. Everything's gone sensual. The bling bling, the lights, the come and experience this. It's the greatest of these. Hey, how many of y'all have ever gotten caught up in the lights for a moment? The bling bling. Oh, man, that'll be good over there. Well, listen. Probably a lot of us have. Now, the key is to repent and then to live like God wants you to live. Does that make sense? If we don't have that message, we're all doomed. How many of y'all came to that conclusion? If there's not grace, none of us stands good. Well, there's an antidote to sexual immorality. How many of y'all glad to know that there's an antidote to sexual immorality? Anybody glad to know that there is an antidote? Guess what it's called? Grace. Marriage! Now, guess what? The sermon is opposite today, so go with me to the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and the first verse is a doozy. I mean, it's what, Paul? What are you talking about? Now, let me put it in context a little bit. Paul's not reading a lecture to the church, and this is where we get really confused. He is answering questions that they have asked him in a letter. And that's why you hear some people preach this and I go, wait a minute, brother. Don't you understand this is a letter to an actual situation? And so they're asking actual questions. Now think about it. If you've never been around Christ, if you've never been around God, if you've never followed the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have only been subject to thinking outside of God's realm. Amen. True? Amen. So there were real questions. You know, hey, what about the pagan temples? And Paul says, well, you can't go in there anymore because your life's been changed and now you worship God. You don't have a need for that anymore. Okay, you don't have a need for that anymore. Now, this is amazing when it comes, because this verse is going to, well, let me just read it. Jamie and I have wrestled with this verse with each other. I said, Jamie, what do you do with this? He said, I don't know. You got to preach that. I said, yeah, but you got to preach it on Wednesday night. Look at here. Now for the matters you wrote about. Okay, now what does that clue us into? Now for the matters you wrote about. These are the questions that people have. They're questions that they're asking the apostle. What do we do with this? He says, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. What? Now, I got to give you a little bit of understanding of Paul. Paul's also got a belief that this thing's wrapping up soon. And I would have had the same belief. You know, if Jesus left and said, you know, Don, I'll be back soon. What does that mean? Don, I'll see you soon. A couple of months? Is it a year? What does soon mean for a God that doesn't wear a watch? What does soon mean if you are the beginning and the end? What does soon mean if you are not confined to time? I don't know. And that's why God says this is the day the Lord has made, live in the day. Now, he's saying that the better position, Paul believes this. He says the better position is stay focused on God. Stay as you are. Okay? Stay as you are. That's his position. Now, Paul obviously does not have a wife at this moment of time. Okay? I don't know if Paul had a wife or not. I can't argue from the text because Paul never mentions his wife. Now, and we can go by, he was a good Pharisee and all Pharisees were married. I don't know if his wife died. I don't know if they separated. I don't know what happened. Wouldn't that be a whooping? All these preachers that have scolded people and they get up there and they ask Paul, Paul, what happened to you? Well, my wife and I separated. Paul is totally dedicated to a life in Christ. And so what he's saying is this, your life dedicated to Christ is the most important relationship you have. Does everybody understand that? Now let's think about this a minute. Why is our relationship with Christ the most important relationship we have here on earth? Well, that's a practical reality, Robert. You know, a relationship with Christ helps line out all other relationships. That's a practical matter. Watch this. Our relationship with Christ is the only relationship that you will take with you in death. That's it. In death, I am no longer Elizabeth's husband. Till death do us part. At death, I cease to be a father. I cease to be an uncle. I cease to be a pastor. I cease to be what I was here on earth. And the only relationship I take with me in death is the relationship that Jesus Christ has given me in grace. Isn't that amazing? Now think about it. It's so amazing, but here's what we do. How many of y'all do this? Everything else is important, and I'm going to have a little Jesus on the side. How many of y'all would go to a steakhouse and get excited about the potato? Well, some people do. I know, Freddie. That's why repentance is there, okay? Yeah, but I mean, have y'all ever seen some? I mean, they go to a steakhouse. Here's what gets me is people that go to a steakhouse and order fish. No, but you know what I'm talking about? The main menu at a steakhouse is what? And that's what Paul's pointing to. He said the main relationship is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that you've been changed by grace. It's that your sins are forgiven and you're a new person. And what we tend to do is we tend to make secondary relationships main relationships. I'll show you one that's killed me in my life. What I do sometimes in my life has gotten above who God made me to be. Sometimes I've gotten more wrapped up in being a pastor than I have a follower. And it's easy to do. Because there's things to arrange and stuff to organize and movements to happen. But guess what? The ultimate relationship is in Jesus Christ. Now he said, it is better that you remain absolutely focused in Christ. Would you agree with that soon to be Reverend Dr. Reynolds? And this is this moment Paul has that he screams to the people who are following Jesus at Corinth is this: this world doesn't last forever. Cletus, you've had that moment that we all have, brother. We love you, and we're going to miss Wilma, but guess what? Let me give you some good news in this text. We're going to see her again. Cletus lost Wilma, but Jesus found her. See, what we lose, Jesus finds. How many of you, now listen, I'm preaching to the choir. This particular service has a little more understanding of this. How many of you have come to this conclusion? This thing doesn't last forever. How many of y'all are older than you thought you would be right now? Yeah. Elizabeth and I had a little time together this week, and I'm like, Elizabeth, where did it go? What happened? You know, I looked at her, she looked at me, and I'm going, we have been married decades. I remember when we first got married. Of course, it feels like we first got married again. It's such a wonderful time in life, and I'm going to encourage you all to stay married, because when your kids leave, it is a wonderful moment in your marriage. So hang in there right now. Go to all the soccer practices, the dance recitals. Enjoy every bit of that. I want to let you parents know it's not forever. Praise his holy name. Isn't it, Timmy? It's kind of nice, isn't it? I don't have grandchildren yet, but those of you that have grandchildren, you all seem to be very excited about that. I think I'll be excited about that one day. And I think what'll be exciting about that is you give them back. I think they come visit, you get all the highlights, and you send them back to the parents for the other matters. Yeah, but there's this delightful in relationship. Okay, primary relationship. The only relationship that we take out of this world is the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody get that? Okay, so Paul's looking, he said, listen, this is temporary. I mean, I believe what they so beautifully sang. One day he will return. I don't know when. You'll have to check with other preachers for that information. I know he's returning, and because he's returning, I better be living in him. I want Jesus to catch me focused on him. It'd be a good place to be caught in life, wouldn't it? And so we got to be careful. Now, he said this: it is good if you choose to be married. Now, I want, you know, some of you all are single. Praise God. How many of y'all realize, watch, here's what Paul's saying. It's easier to be focused single. You all have heard me say, you know, I get this in my office. I've had it for decades now. People walk in my office and say, Pastor Steve, I got married and I'm not happy. I went, yes. And they go, well, what do you mean? I said, you got married. Marriage is not easy. How many of y'all understand that? Marriage is not easy. If you want to only do what you want to do, don't get married. If you want to have it your way, if you're a Burger King kind of person, okay, that's not a big deal. You just want to have it your way all the time. I wouldn't get married. Because a lot of people that get married, guess what? They realize, how many of you all have discovered at least this in marriage? If you choose to be married, you can't have your way all the time and stay married. For you men, the key to longevity in marriage is this. Yes, ma'am. If you want to stay married, there's some light. Whatever you think, honey. Yeah, I think we can do that. No, you all know this. It's not, when we get married, it's not about me. Well, Paul says this. He realizes that we have passions. How many of y'all realize that we have passions? Now, here's what I want you to know. Passions are not dirty. They're not unholy. They're not something that God's against, that God made them and he put them in us. I mean, y'all realize that we're passionate people because God made us passionate people. Amen. He didn't make us Spocks. You all remember Star Trek? What was the matter with Spock? He just had what? Just logic. But he lacked emotion. He lacked a passion. And that's a part of who we are, too. All of us. Not some of us. All of us. And so Paul says this, he says, now there is an order and there's a beautiful thing that God has given us. And I believe this with all my heart. We did not create marriage. God gave us marriage. Now, church, this is what I'll fight for. Marriage comes from God. Do you understand that? Marriage comes from who? God. Government has nothing to do with marriage. The only reason government got involved with marriage is government wants your money. Government's not concerned about marriage. They're concerned about death benefits. They're concerned about how you're going to transfer wealth, and they're going to make sure they get a piece of it along the way. True or false? I haven't shown my hand where I stand politically, have I? That's just part of government. Government's not concerned that you have a beautiful marriage. Government's concerned that your marriage make money so they can tax you. That's it. That's the amount of their concern. It's a very logical, practical business agreement. But the Bible says, wait a minute. Marriage is about expressing and giving into each other. Now, church, I want to tell you something that I'm very thankful for. For about 10 years or so, we've had a marriage ministry here in this church. Some of you work in that marriage ministry, Jerry, Brenda. You're just here, and I see you, and thank you for your years of this. The greatest thing that you can do is stay married. You say, oh, Pastor Steve, you don't understand what I'm married to. Elizabeth does. And one of the things that we get excited about now is teaching what God has said about marriage. If you've been around Elizabeth and I, we do not have a perfect marriage. We've never pretended to have a perfect marriage. But we have one that is submitted to God, and in spite of its flaws, God brings it through. How many of y'all have a marriage like that? In spite of flaws, in spite of difficulties, God's going to bring you through. By the way, these people that have perfect marriages, they scare me. They're the people that get divorced after 35 years of marriage. Because guess what? There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. And if you listen, all this Susie Sunshine jazz you hear, and man, it goes on in the church. I say it's time to get, you know, well, I told y'all that story. Elizabeth and I had to do this panel thing. And here's Elizabeth and I. You know, I'm sitting there with pair of jeans on and boots, and Elizabeth, she's looking good. And then we got this couple over here, and they look like the model perfect Christian people. I mean, the dude's got his hair parted on the side, not a hair out of place. I mean, it doesn't even move. Like, I mean, he could be in a hurricane and his hair would stay right there. This lady has got her makeup, none of it is out of place. And I never will forget, these young pastors were asking questions, and they said, well, what do you all do when you're in conflict? And this lady looks and she goes, we take each other's hand and we walk for a half a mile and we pray. I'm thinking to myself, boy, Elizabeth Nyer's answer is going to really stink if we're honest. So they looked at us, and I said, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I said, I'm a very volatile personality. I said, I'm very spontaneous. I'm full of passion, and I fight like Hades. I said, I yell, and I scream, and I get upset, and I have that gear in me. It's calmed down some now just because my blood pressure immediately goes up, but we have conflict. And in the midst of our conflict, God has grace. Well, after it was over with, guess who everybody came to talk to? Yeah, because they want somebody to be honest. This is a tough relationship. Marriage is a tough relationship, and one of the privileges I have, I thank Elizabeth for staying. I do that quite often. I tell her, I said, you know, a lot of people wouldn't have stayed in all this. But how many of y'all realize that all of you have been given a great husband and a great wife? I don't care who they are. I don't care what anybody else says. They've been given. I've told you all this before. People gave Elizabeth and I 6 months. They said, Elizabeth, there's no way you can stay married to him. And probably not if she had married me. But she came with the Lord. And I came in the Lord. And in spite of us knowing absolutely nothing when we got married, the Lord will bring you through many situations. How many? That's the grace of God. How many of y'all glad to know the Lord will bring you through your differences? Now, if you've gone through a divorce, please don't sit here and be all guilty. They happen. Why? We're people and we're human, but for those of us, listen, if you've been through a divorce, here's what I want you to do. Let's really have a heart for the next generation that they not have to go through one. Amen? That ought to be our attitude. Hey, I want y'all to get it right. I've told y'all this before. Most divorces happen because people marry the wrong people. It's the deliriousness of youth. And think about it. A whole lot of people who got divorced, I'll ask them, you know, as we get into this stuff, I'll say, did your mama approve of this guy? Oh, Lord, no, Pastor Steve. She told me not to. And I was going to show her I could. Now she's right. Sometimes we need to listen to people that love us. Amen. Even if it causes a moment of conflict, I have found that a moment of conflict is better than a lifetime of misery. And here's what Paul said to this place. Beautiful people. Pastor Mark, we're thankful for you and Tina. 9 years of marriage. Awesome. And Tina, to be married to Mark for 9 years, that is a miraculous achievement. Watch this. Isn't that true? Amen. I love Mark. He knows that. But since sexual immorality is occurring, look what Paul said. It is occurring. It's not something that might occur. It is what? Now we got to look at our society and we got to say the same thing, don't we, Bob? Since sexual immorality is occurring, since people can't control their passions, he says, listen, God has created a place for our passions. That's what he's saying here. God has made a place for our passions. Now, if you're married, I want you to hear this. Last week, Jamie talked about flee, didn't he? He said, flee. Flee sexual immorality. Now, in marriage, guess what I get to tell you this Sunday? You better get with it. You better get with it. Your passions are made for your wife and your husband. Amen? Somebody ought to be going, that's right. Yeah, that's where your passions are made for. And listen, quit doing this. Well, I'm in my midlife. I'm just, you know, I'm 38. We're just going to sit down, get in a rocking chair and have no passion anymore, no romance. Guys, let me help you with something. Sitting there eating pretzels all Saturday with crumbs on your belly is not a romantic event. Come on. And your wife, she really doesn't enjoy kissing you when your breath smells like beef jerky. That's not a romantic moment. Now, hold on, guys. Here's where I'm guilty. Sometimes I'm more in love with the remote than I am with my wife. Oh, Randall, I hate to say that. That's some serious confession. Yeah. And you know what I found? If I remote, you know, I watch this. I don't know if y'all's husbands do this, but Elizabeth says hers does. I've sat there and just changed channels because there was nothing on and I just like watching nothing. Any of y'all ever watch nothing? Most of what we watch is nothing anyway. How many of you all found as husband and wife, who has to hold the remote in y'all's house? Even who holds it in your house? Absolutely. That's a man thing. Michael, do you hold your remote? Have you ever given it to your wife? Me either. Elizabeth goes, can I have that remote? No, this is a man's toy. Jamie, who holds the remote in your house? You control freak. Derek, you've only been married for a few months. What about the remote? It's instinctive. I want the remote. I want to control the channels. But how many of you all have spent so much time with the TV that you forgot to spend any time with your wife? It can happen. We can drift away. Now, look what Paul says. But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife. Please underline own wife. Your wife. Man, I want to tell you, the most adorable, wonderful, romantic, passionate, beautiful woman in your life ought to be your what? Wife. You know what I think the most beautiful women in the world are today? Women in their mid-40s. One of them in particular. Now, I used to think 21-year-old women were beautiful, but now I think it's... You know, upper 40-year-old, watch it. Y'all got my drift here? Man, listen, the most beautiful woman in your life ought to be your wife. You say, what if she's 90? You ought to say, man, I'm going to tell you what, I never knew wrinkles could be so sexy. That ought to keep the passion. No, I'm serious. We ought to keep the passion. Now, I want to tell you something, and I'm very serious about this. Our marriages in the church ought to be more passionate than the marriages that are just agreements and contracts. And one of the reasons people have a down view of marriage is because we don't celebrate it. Now, I'm going to say what the Bible says. You want to see what the Bible says? Each man should have sexual relations with his own wife and each woman with her own husband. Do you know what the Bible just said? When you're married, you ought to have sex. And that ought to not be a yearly celebration. Now, I don't think we need to go around talking about, you know, some people like to brag. You know, I know they're lying. Guys my age, you know, I tell you what, I just can't keep my wife away from me. I'm going, that's a lie. You know, Mark, if I know that by this age, you have to love one another out of grace. Because I've put on my swimming trunks before and looked in the mirror and gone, really? I never knew the fall meant that much. Mark and I laugh about this story in our life. We were over, a few summers back, we were over at his swimming pool. And this is back when Mark used to allow us to go to McDonald's for lunch. And we had had a whole winter of just celebrating at McDonald's. Remember that, Mark? Double cheeseburgers, fries. I remember those days. Well, I didn't have any swimming trunks. Mark said, I got some swimming trunks. So we're in there changing, putting our swimming trunks on. And in a moment, we both just looked at each other. I looked at Mark, I said, we ain't no lifeguards anymore, are we? I was glad to get under the water, you know what I mean? I didn't look too bad neck up. That's just part of life. But watch this, that doesn't mean your passions die. Amen? Amen? But we ought to be passionately in love with each other. I can say this with all integrity. I love my wife more today than I ever have. And I hope tomorrow I love her that much more. And she even said this about me. Now, this week we were out and she looked and she said, honey, I have really grown, to love you. I'll take that. That's a good thing. But in a real way, we grow into loving each other. How many of y'all love each other more now than you did then? See, I love my grandparents. My grandparents were great examples of a passionate marriage. 62 years. And my grandmother, every time I saw her, she lived by herself for 10 years after he passed away. And she's a Southern Belle woman. And if I was running through the South down there preaching, I'd tap on her door when I came through. And she'd come to that door, little woman. She'd open that door and she'd say, first words weren't, hey, how you doing? She'd go, I miss Turner. I miss Turner. I thought to myself, she lived with that dude for 62 years. And they lived in passion, not in extravagance, not in luxury, in love. And I thought to myself, many of us live in extravagance, but we never live in love. Sometimes we live in church, but we never live in love. And Paul says, listen, don't deprive each other. Celebrate with each other. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. Do you know what that means? Can I be very clear? Don't use the sexual relationship as a weapon. Amen. Don't turn away from each other, but turn into each other. Listen, church, hear me. Some of the worst sexual lives in the world come from religious people. And instead of it being a celebration, it becomes a duty. Husbands, love your wives as Jesus Christ loves the church and celebrate with her. And wives, likewise. This is not the word of a faithful wife. No. Not now. Only if you clean the garage and mow the yard. This is not a bargaining chip. This is the way we celebrate passion and love with each other. Is that not a beautiful thing or what? I want you to see that it's in Scripture. I want you to know that God made sex better than the world has bent it. It's a wonderful thing. You say, well, why is sex better in marriage? You wake up and you're not guilty. You don't have anything to hide. I remember I was accused a few years back of having an affair with a good-looking blonde. And this guy said, I caught you out at the lake. You had a blonde in your boat. And I said, you have caught me. And he goes, well, she was wearing a bikini. I said, that's because she can. He said, so you had a blonde with a bikini in your boat and you're A-okay with that? I said, absolutely. This ring says I'm married to her. He goes, hold on, but see, I'm a pastor, so I'm supposed to have a frumpy wife. No, I'm telling you the truth. See, the image of the world is if you're going to be religious, you're going to be stuffy and you're going to be no fun and you're going to have no passion and you're supposed to just kind of be like the frumps. When really it's the opposite. If you're madly in love and Jesus Christ has got a hold of your life, you're going to be passionately engaged in life. Amen. And you're not going to turn away from each other. Amen. You don't have to flee. Jamie, praise God. We finally don't have to flee. We don't have to flee on this one. Guess what we get to do? We get to connect. So sex outside of marriage, run away from it. Sex inside marriage, run to it. And get to it. And by the way, just a sideline to the sermon, if it's been a while, this afternoon will be great. It's what they made grandparents for. Send them over there. Celebrate. Be careful with the celebration or you will increase the tribe, okay? Be careful. Be careful. But so we need to be real. Watch. I'm glad that y'all can laugh. I'm glad that y'all can see that this is real. And in marriage, it ought to be real. And it's time the church stand up and declare this message. The sexual relationship that God has made and created is a great, wonderful expression of love inside marriage. And outside of marriage, it becomes a very dangerous situation. That's what Paul's saying. Now, the husband should fulfill his marital duty. Husbands, I'm going to speak to you all on this. Don't get distracted away from your wife. Never be so busy that you can't be married. Never be so busy that you can't be a father. I understand the struggle. But be reminded today. Wait a minute. Watch this. I promise you this. Whatever you're doing, as soon as you retire, nobody will remember it in about 2 weeks. But you know what? I hope, if the Lord grants those days, I hope Elizabeth and I are, you know, next to each other, and we're both wrinkled up. She'll be with me. One day I won't be pastor at Hillview Heights Church. And guess what? Nobody will know that I was pastor. That's okay. That's the way that works. But one day when I take my last breath, there'll be one person that'll be there with me that really cares. And that's called my wife. And if you've been good to your children, guess what? They'll show up. If you never gave them any time, they'll be a little while getting there. See, the truth comes. Don't disregard valuable relationships. It's a responsibility. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. Now, I've heard a lot of men stop right there. See, honey? In the same way, the husband, he does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his what? Wife. Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another one has that. Now to the unmarried and to the widow I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried, as I do. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. I've been asked this question by a lot of people. Why did you and Elizabeth get married so young? It's a biblical answer, and here it is. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. I said, Elizabeth, I am burning. That's true. You sure didn't marry me for my intelligence at age 20. I don't know how I talked her into it. I said, honey, we got to get our relationship in order. It's got to be an ordered relationship. And it requires marriage. And marriage is a beautiful thing. It is better to marry than to burn with passion. It is better to take that passion, hear what Paul's really saying, and express that with one that you love deeply. You know what I believe? If you're married, you will fall in love with that person if you spend time working that marriage. Yeah. Some of you say, well, we don't agree. That has nothing to do with marriage. If you married somebody that agrees with you totally, that is a boring marriage. I mean, what do you do? What do you fight about? What do you discover? And you know you're not going to have total agreement because there is no woman that thinks like a man and no man that thinks like a what? That's just not the way we do it. But the more you work together, the more you will see the reality of God's grace in a marriage covenant. In a real way, salvation is a lot like marriage. Jesus joins himself by grace to us, whether we're worthy or not. And through that relationship, we begin to look a whole lot more like him than we used to. Isn't that God's grace? Have you all learned something today? If you are married, you chose to be married, I want to encourage you. Stay with it. Jim and Doris, thank you for being a great example of never giving up. You all have over 50 years, don't you? Jim and Doris have been married for 62 years. Wow. Jim, Elizabeth, and I aren't quite halfway there, but guess what? I hope if the Lord gives us long days, we will be. My mother and father have been married way over 50 years. Elizabeth's mom and dad were married way over 50 years. And I look at my family line, and they've all, Timmy, how long your mom and daddy been married? 60 some odd. You see what I'm saying? There used to be a what? Well, where did longevity come from? So I want to help you with this last part of the sermon. You know what Paul's saying? You can't be married if it's going to be all about you. And that's where most marriages fall apart. It's not all about the husband or it's not all about the wife. It can't be all about one person or what happens to the marriage. It crumbles. And see, that's where anger and all kinds of things come out because we make it about us. And it ought to be about God in us expressing our love and our passion to each other. Does that make sense? So if you're married, make sure that you are passionately expressing yourself to each other. Okay? Make sure that you are loving each other. And you know what Paul's really saying here? Don't leave out the romance. How many of y'all realize there ought to be some romance in marriage? Amen. There ought to be some romance. Now, I'm not talking about every night. But there ought to be some romance. Your wife, husbands, I'm going to challenge you. Your wife ought to be able to say, my husband thoroughly appreciates me. This is romantic when you get married. Vacuum. You want to see your wife go crazy? Clean the house. That's a great night. I don't do anything without motivation. In fact, my wife knows if the leaves are all out of our front yard and she steps in the house and it is scented with Febreze and the floors are clean and everything's been straightened up, she has no doubt what that means. If I was a big elk, I just went, woo, okay? Be romantic. You got your own thing. You figure out your own thing. Now, everybody will have a clean house this week, guys. Lisa Tim's over there with his head turned because I've seen his driveway clean, too. Okay, yeah. And I know he won't do anything without any motivation. Oh, that's just part of it. I've learned a lot from your all's marriages. I want to thank you all for having me. Jim, I've learned a lot from you and Doris. Thanks. I've learned a lot from Earl and Cindy Wassum. Married 67 years, 68. Earl's 90. You know what I love about Earl and Cindy's marriage? It's not that they have been married a long time. Because, I mean, you can live and just endure each other and make years. I mean, like Cindy, I mean, she still dresses to the nines. And she dresses Earl. I'll say, Earl, you look awful dapper today. He goes, you know where that came from? I will always be indebted for what Cindy told my wife. Earl and Cindy were pastors at one time. And she looked at Elizabeth and she said, Elizabeth, you don't listen to these old biddies in the church now. Try to tell you how to dress. They did the same to me. Said I dressed too fancy. I told them I could. And she said, and let me help you sisters out with something else. I love Cindy's attitude. She said, I don't dress for you. In fact, I don't like some of you. She said, I dress for Earl Wassum, and this is the way he likes it. Now, there's a sister that read 1 Corinthians 7. Said about my husband, Sue and Jack, thanks. Thanks for going to your house. And after all these years of marriage, there's laughter and there's fun and there's always great food. But there's always, it's never Jack. It's never Sue. I've never even said your all's names apart. It's always Jack and Sue. Where'd you go? Well, Jack and Sue's. Well, Jack and Sue did this. Thanks. Over 50 years. I remember the celebration we had. And so, church, what I'm trying to point out, for those of you that are younger and you're in your marriage, talk to these folks. They talk back. You'd be amazed. I've had to go to some of my older brothers and say, hey, listen, man, and they go, Pastor, you're not communicating to your wife. You're right. It's okay. Here's what I'm telling you, husbands. You ain't got to be perfect. And when you don't know how to get through something, I would talk to somebody that's ahead of you a little bit, because I promise you, they've been through there at one time. You know, Jack, you were kind of shocked when I looked at you and said, hey, Jack, guess what? When you came to Hillview, you were the same age Elizabeth and I are now. You're not old. Seasoned. Perry, you and Paulette, y'all have a great time. Y'all don't have 50 in yet.
Close.
How many?
43.
And to watch you, Paulette, like, you know, I tell this story often because it was so funny. Here's Perry, Christmas Eve. We see each other on the road. I love this story. He rolls down a window, and you got to know Perry. Perry's a card, and he goes, hey. I said, what? He said, got my woman a mud bath for Christmas. I rolled over the window and I laughed all the way down the road. I said, man, I'm thankful to pastor church where husbands on Christmas Eve get excited about getting their wives a mud bath. Do you know what that shows me? They haven't lost what? Passion. Don't lose the passion. And if you're going to be married, be passionately engaged in it. And if you're going to be single, be passionately living for the Lord single. We got to live for the Lord. We're going to get to that here just a little later in the text. Whether we're single, whether we're married, whether we're a child, whether we're a grandparent, may the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in it. Amen? Well, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, none of this is possible. And just lay there. Listen, I don't know how you live passionately unforgiven. Because if you're not forgiven, you always live guilty. And if you always live guilty, you're always finding something wrong with somebody else. How many of you all have noticed that? Amen. So instead of finding flaws, why don't you let the Lord Jesus Christ forgive yours today? So you step in and you say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I've not done the things you wanted me to do. And Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. You got to believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the grave and he's real. And he's going to wed himself in grace to us, so that we might live in passion that he's given us. Amen. Cletus, thank you for being faithful to your wife. 51 years. Congratulations. And you know what? You've loved her. You've taken care of her. I think about the marriage vows. You did them all. And death has not separated you. Only for a moment. Only for a moment. You see, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're only separated for a moment. I'm going to see my grandparents again. I'm going to see my friends again. Those in Christ, Nathan. That's why this is so important. Those without Christ, Tina, I'll never see again. Now that's where it gets real serious. I do not want anybody here to be without Christ. There is a day that God's coming and there is a final judgment. But if you're in His grace, guess what the judgment is? Grace. If you're going to stand there with your own logic up against an almighty God, that's going to fall real short, real quick. So have you heard the message today? Be in that marriage. Be passionately engaged. If you're married, this would be a great day to come to the altar. And if you've messed up in some places in marriage, you know what you do? You talk it through, you pray it through, you work it through, and you stay married.
You go, Pastor, if you don't understand.
I do. I promise you, for some of the divorces that I've dealt with, Elizabeth and I had a stronger case to be divorced. But you know what we decided to do? Let's forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven us. And let us live together in peace. Makes sense? And so we'll talk about that. Let's stand together. If you just come and pray. If you're sick, we've had some folks. I just want to lift up in prayer. I've mentioned Cletus. Remember him. He's lost his wife. Sonia, we want to lift up Tony today at the altar. Sonia and Tony have been with us. This is Mike and Rebecca Rogers. This is Sonia's husband, their father and grandparent. And he had a stroke last week on fall break. And so he's at Sky Rehab. And so we want to pray that God heal that, okay? Now, listen, guys, don't be surprised. Somebody asked me the other day, it was so funny, they've been healed for you a long time. And he goes, you know, it seems like we're getting a lot more sick people in the church. I said, you think? And they go, what do you mean? They said, that doesn't shock you? I said, no. I said, the people when you started coming to Hillview Heights Church that were in their 50s, they're now in their mid-70s. This stuff happens. We don't stay where we are. But you know what? We pray and we work together. And so, church, we're working on that. Pastor Mark's doing a beautiful job with his crew. And listen, we got to help each other out as we age a little bit, okay? Which is, Jim will tell you. Jim, this sanctuary is one level for a reason, isn't it, when we build it? Because guess what? We knew that there'd be a day we didn't all walk up the steps quite as fast as we used to. Yeah. It's one reason it's one level. Because I planned on dying with y'all. Now, the next pastor, he'd probably be some young whippersnapper, and he'll put steps in. He'll regret it one day. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, well, I think our church is losing its spirit. I said, really? They go, well, people don't stand up and worship as long. I said, they can't. They said, what do you mean? I said, they have knee replacements. You can't stand on them puppies for 35 minutes. It's for life. Embrace all of it. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for marriage. Thank you for making us husbands, and thank you for making us wives, and thank you that we don't have to deprive each other or stay away from each other, but we can be brought to each other in grace. But Lord Jesus, today, I thank you most of all for forgiving sinners like me. I thank you, Lord, when I looked at the sermon Jamie preached, and I find myself marked guilty in several places, that in spite of that guilt, there's a big cross that says, you know what? Steve Ayers, you're forgiven, and anybody can have that today. If Jesus Christ is drawing on you to come and be forgiven, come and receive that. Maybe today you just need to be comforted. You need to be healed. Come and receive that. Maybe today, as we talked about marriage, you've deprived each other for a long time. You need to say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I don't want to just be married. I actually want to practice my marriage. And so, Lord, bring grace to us. Bring grace to us. This altar's open. Let's just come and celebrate and let Him speak. Let Him speak. Come on, church. Come on, church.